Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
On demand audio.
Rodney, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. And happy Monday, as you all were saying. And I hope you all had a blessed and a great Easter weekend.
Indeed. Yeah, it was fantastic. Great weather yesterday. Everybody was outside passing football and having a great time, not all cooped up in the house. That was fantastic.
Yeah, and don't forget also finding many, many eggs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
well,
a good point.
Mark, we are on our way into the final stretch of your legislative session in Jefferson City, and we've still got some big, big issues yet to get across the finish line.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I understand that Senator Blunt is down there pushing for prescription drug monitoring.
Yeah, well, Senator Blunt made a rarefied appearance at the legislature and spoke to what he believed was Missouri's need to pass a state prescription drug monitoring program. He ran into the same opposition that the issue has faced for a while, some of the conservative caucus folks who don't buy the narrative that a state program is going to solve the drug problem, the opioid problem. They don't buy it. So, I mean, he made his pitch. He indicated that Missouri is the last state in the union to adopt a statewide program, and some of the folks who are pushing for the program have argued that we de facto have a program that was the one that's been sort of patch-quilted through St. Louis County. So St. Louis County put a county program in place, and other states have sort of attached to it.
Right.
So it's an interesting debate. I mean, I think if you're Senator Blunt, you see from the D.C. perspective, your state is the one state that doesn't have the program, and you think there's some resources that you could deploy if it did. And he understands that the conservatives, not all of them, but enough of them in the Senate to be a weighted vote, aren't buying it today.
And so, Rodney, help me understand, help the listeners understand again how this would work. My understanding of it is it would create a database, and when you took a prescription to a pharmacy, the pharmacist could look in that database and find out if any other doctors had prescribed you the same medicine, and they could tell whether or not you were doctor shopping to get more oxycodone or something like that. Is that correct?
Mark, that's a very fair assessment. And I think that before you leave that point, the trouble for some of our conservative friends is the creation of a database
right,
controlled by the state that would have all your personal information in it to do just what you just said. So it's not, conceptually, they don't want people to know if you're getting too many opioid scripts written. They just are worried that if the state controls the database and has all this access to your health-based information, what else could it be used for? And I think those that oppose it haven't been convinced that there's not some bad outcome or some bad alternative that could happen with such a database being created.
Yeah, you know, and I understand that. I really do, because that database, the people that have access to that database are private companies, and you need to make sure that your information is not being wrongly accessed or somebody hacks into the system or whatever. I've often wondered why they didn't put more pressure back on the physicians, right? Because, you know, a physician should be concerned about whether or not, if he's going to write you a prescription for oxycodone, whether or not you've already got one from another doctor. I think more pressure needs to be put back on the physicians instead of on the pharmacists. That idea has been discussed, I know.
It has. You're getting right into the meat of it, the crux of it. So many physicians only see you on that point-to-point interaction. They don't check, and they don't have the access to your broader medical records. If you saw another physician, for example, earlier that day that wrote a script, the physician you're seeing in the afternoon may not know it. So the proponents are saying that the reason that we need a database is because we want to deal with physician shopping, if you will, physician hopping, and that the point of most acute awareness of the overly prescribed incident would be at the pharmacy, because if there was a database, they said the pharmacist would plug the information in, and then anyone could go on that database and see, have you been written a script earlier that day, or have you tried to fill a script? This is a complicated issue, and I think the reason that it's taken so long for Missouri to really make a decision as to whether or not we want to have a state program or not is because there's no clear answers to some of these issues. Obviously, there are other programs that are different in the other 49 states, but the people of Missouri are a little bit more guarded, and at least that have fought this fight just haven't been convinced that this database is going to solve the opioid crisis. Because even in states, and one of the points that the opponents will make is even in states that have a prescription drug monitoring state program, the opioid deaths are still, you know, as high as they are. They haven't really dealt with the issue, so what are we really getting at here? The proponents say we're getting at having the knowledge to begin to fight the fight. So this is what the legislative process is all about, and it's going to play out over the next, we got about less than 4 weeks left in Jeff City to see whether we become the 50th state or not.
I know there was a similar effort, it wasn't really a database, but sort of, when they were trying to get a statewide ban on Sudafed or turn it into a prescription drug. I shouldn't say a ban. It already irritates me that I have to drive 3 miles to get Sudafed.
Yeah, and that was put in a system where you had to get a script for
right.
it. You can't just go get it off the counter again. Some people say that those databases, those government-structured programs are great for information, but they don't get to the crux of the problem. They don't stop the addiction. And so that's what these debates do, Mark. They let both sides sort of vent and hear what, you know, the other side is saying. At the end of the day, if you don't get 18 votes, if you don't get to 18 votes in the Senate, 82 votes in the Missouri House, and something signed by the governor, the debate will continue on.
But the fact that Blunt got involved moves the ball forward or not? Because was this thing kind of stalled?
I think it does something unprecedented. It's the first time that we've had, you know, someone of his caliber weigh in at the Capitol so publicly. I think it does move the ball forward. And it could put people in a position to, who maybe have been completely opposed, to be more open to a compromise. And I think that's the genesis of what people are saying, that now that you've got Senator Blunt, who's, you know, senior statesman from D.C., saying this needs to happen, let's see, you know, in the days and weeks to come, if that is enough to get a compromise on the table from the conservative caucus, who has been, you know, pretty clearly opposed.
Yeah, let's talk city-county merger for a minute, because I know last Thursday the legislators were anxious to get out of Jeff City, and all of a sudden they in the Senate at least, they found themselves voting on a Senate resolution that was non-binding, basically from Gina Walsh, saying that that they would oppose as a body the merger of the city and county as a statewide vote. It was non-binding. I know Bill Igel started to filibuster it. Ultimately, there was a vote, but the Missouri Scout and others are reporting that there were some heated words on the floor of the Senate before this thing got to a vote.
Well, they were. The heated words arose from the idea that this issue is extremely controversial. As you know, you've been talking about it and the severity of it for a while. That to bring this up on a Thursday afternoon, even though it was on the calendar with the ability to be brought up, was the timing was offensive to some people who wanted to have a long series of debate about this. It was brought up Thursday on the eve of the Easter recess. A lot of people were looking forward to getting home to their families and to the holiday festivities, and then this issue was brought up. So certainly it could have been brought up as it was on the calendar, but others were concerned that it was brought up. And then there was the frustration that played out in the debate. Senator Igel wanted to have this issue debated vigorously, and others for a very long time. You don't really get that on a Thursday afternoon before recess. Nonetheless, he did hold the floor for a while, almost 2 hours, debating the merit of this and why this needed more time, and it did come to a vote. Now, you mentioned before, for the listeners to be clear, this is a Senate concurrent resolution, which is akin to the Senate as a body making a recommendation or having their opinion heard, but it's not binding law. It's not the same thing as some of the other measures that are supposed to be brought up in the House in the near future and could be also brought up in the Senate that are binding, that will put a measure on the ballot for Missourians to vote on. This was a recommendation document. It's a concurrent resolution. It's akin to normally these things are done when the body wants to tell the federal government to stop doing something, or we don't want this, or we don't like that. And so this is an interesting statement by the senators. And that was 25 out of 34 senators that voted for this, to say that we don't want this we don't want the consolidation done this way. That concurrent resolution would have to go to the House, but it will not be the same thing as some of the other issues measures, Mark. That would put an issue on the ballot to be voted on.
So Elijah Haar, the Speaker, has said that he would bring Dean Plocker's HJR 54 to a House vote, and that's the one that would put language on the ballot competing with Better Together, saying that if there's ever a county merger of any sort, the local vote must be taken, and that's what will ultimately decide if there's a merger.
Right, and that is what is embodied in the concurrent resolution that was passed on Thursday. That's what's effectively in all the other bills. It requires that if there is a statewide constitutional vote passed that would force a consolidation, that the local communities must ratify it at a higher percentage than the statewide vote. And that's what the Speaker of the House has indicated he will allow to come to a floor vote. Remember, we just said that comes up. You need 82 votes to get it out of the House and over to the Senate, and then it has to go through the Senate committee process and back to the Senate floor for what presumably will be a continuation of the robust debate from last Tuesday.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Jefferson City Insider, but Dean Plocker's bill would have to go through Bill Igel's committee in the Senate, correct?
Well, it could, but there are other committees. I want to be clear. I mean, there are other committees that this Senate president could refer the bill to. It could go to Igel's committee. It could go to Gina Walsh's committee.
Oh, okay.
He also has a committee. So there are different pathways where the legislation could go depending on the will of leadership. So let's just to be open.
I thought somebody told me it had to go to Bill Igel's, or that there was at least a Senate version of it already sitting in Senator Igel's committee.
And there is, but okay. It does not have to go there. From the insider perspective you pointed out, it could also be routed through other committees.
Oh, good. All right. Well, if you have an opinion on it, now would be the time to call Jefferson City and let your respective legislator know, whether it's your senator or specifically your senator or your House representative, where you stand on it. Just
Mark,
let them know.
One other plug. It's also the time to be heard on all these other issues. Prescription drug monitoring is a big issue. If you have an opinion, let your legislators know about it, because they need to hear from the listeners out here what they think. These issues are weighted. We got the budget coming down this week in the Senate. I mean, there are a lot of issues. I would encourage your listeners, if you've been tuned out of Jeff City for all of session, you got about 3 weeks to pay attention and let your senators and reps know what you think about what they're working on.
Yeah, so the transportation issue is settled now, Rodney, is that correct?
It is not settled. It is getting settled. There was a compromise where the senators agreed to allow the bonding if, and the big caveat is, if we get a federal grant that would afford us resources to rebuild the Rocheport Bridge. But so it's getting settled much further along than it was when we spoke last week.
Yeah. I saw where Nicole Galloway is ramping up already for a run against Mike Parson.
You know, there's a lot of speculation around that. She, from her perspective, hasn't uttered a word.
Okay.
But she's moving chess pieces and hiring consultants, and so people are inferring that means she's about to do something potentially 2020.
Interesting to see, if you look at the amount of money sitting in political action committees down in Jeff City. Governor Greitens still has about $700,000 sitting in a political action committee called Greitens for Governor. That's fascinating to me. Can that stay there forever?
It can stay there as long as there is an active and open campaign that meets all the requirements. And so forever is a stretch, but as long as there's an open campaign, he can keep those funds in there. Under the idea that as long as he's a viable potential candidate, he could kick off another campaign. Then about a week ago, there was a rabid buzz around he was going to run again. I'm not even sure the origin of it, if it was a joke or what. But
no,
it hit the Capitol pretty aggressively.
Did it? Yeah,
scratching their heads.
Yeah, that was a local blogger here in the city who has since retracted that story. Although he still seemed to suggest maybe there was a hint of truth to it, he couldn't prove it. So it'll be interesting to see, since all that money's still sitting there, what happens going forward. You know, locally, Rodney, and I got about a minute and a half here, but locally, John Gaskin of the NAACP in the county kind of stepped in it last week, because he came out and announced the organization was against the merger, and then an intrepid reporter, Jeremy Kohler, discovered that he's now getting paid by Better Together, basically.
Yeah, I mean, when he did not disclose that he worked for this group, this affiliate group, United STL, it really put him in a very awkward spot, because yeah. It would have appeared at the beginning of the press conference that he was speaking solely and unilaterally for the NAACP. Before he could get out of the building, I guess there was a question about, hey, do you work in any way for Better Together? And he mentioned he worked for this, I read the article, the affiliate group. And they put him back on the stage, and it sort of went downhill from there, because the objectivity was lost. And now there's all kind of chaos, because I think there are people calling for him to step down and for a retraction. I think we've only seen the beginning of that, the end of that press conference. But and also, I think the St. Louis City, for those who don't know, the NAACP branches are city-county. The city has said that they thought he went too far.
Yeah.
There's calls for him to step down. This seems like it's going to be yet another stumble cluster. That will not serve the cause of those who want Better Together to advance well.
Rodney Boyd, thanks, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.